Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. In 2009, approximately 14%, or 17 million households, were food insecure. At the same time, we face an obesity epidemic among not only adults, but children as well. As unbelievable as it may seem, obesity and hunger do coexist. How does the USDA's Food and Nutrition Service work to address these problems? What federal programs seek to reduce hunger while promoting better nutrition? Are there new and innovative approaches to reducing hunger and improving nutrition? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Julie Parity, Administrator of the Food and Nutrition Service within the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Julie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is Randy Livingston. Randy, welcome.
Thank you.
Julie, I'd like to start off by learning more about USDA's Food and Nutrition Service. Would you give us an overview of the history, mission, and evolution of the FNS?
The Food and Nutrition Service is my very favorite agency. I say it's the greatest agency in the federal government. My staff hears me talk about it all the time. Its mission is just so noble: to increase food security among the American public and reduce hunger. We do it in partnership with cooperating organizations. We provide children and low-income people access to food, to a healthful diet and nutrition education. And we do it in a manner that supports American agriculture and that inspires public confidence. That's our goal. Our primary responsibility at the Food and Nutrition Service is to oversee the administration of the nation's 15 nutrition assistance programs. And these programs touch the lives of one in four over the course of a year. So our mission is very important, very critical to the food security of our nation. And they're at the forefront of ending hunger and improving the nutrition and health of low-income kids and families all across the country.
So with an important mission like that, could you give us a sense of the scale of operation of your agency? How is it organized, the size of its budget, the number of employees?
Well, we are organized. We've got a headquarters that is here in the metropolitan area. Our headquarters staff is about 500 people. We have a total of 1,300 people that work at FNS. About 800 of those people work in seven regional offices around the country and in a number of field offices and satellite offices as well. We are part of the mission area at the Department of Agriculture called the Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Service. We have a sister agency that's really quite small, about 35 people, I believe, called the Center for Nutrition Policy and Promotion, which is also part of that mission area of USDA. And the Center on Nutrition Policy and Promotion really is that agency of government that tries to link science research to consumers, present it in a way that consumers can understand. And one of the big things they do is the dietary guidelines. So the dietary guidelines for Americans are due to be released, the next set, in very early 2011. And we work hand in hand in all of our nutrition messages with our sister agency, the Center on Nutrition Promotion and Policy. In FY 2010, believe it or not, the federal government spent over $90 billion to fund the 15 nutrition assistance programs. That represents more than 60% of the total USDA expenditures. And of course, FNS is overseen by me, by the Office of the Administrator, and then run throughout our program by the regions and policies made at headquarters.
So with an important mission and such a large budget or investment, what are your larger responsibility and what's your role leading this agency? Could you tell us about those responsibilities?
Well, you know, when I was blessed and honored to be chosen to be the administrator in the Obama administration of the Food and Nutrition Service, one of the reasons I was thrilled was because the president had made such a historic commitment to ending childhood hunger. And I thought, we're going to have great policymakers from the president right on down. Secretary Vilsack, I knew, was very engaged and interested in all of the work of FNS. We've got a brilliant undersecretary and Kevin Concannon and a great political team. So I thought, you know, they don't need another policymaker sort of in the mix. And I realized that my mission really was to be the administrator of the Food and Nutrition Service and do everything that I possibly can to support the quite amazing staff that we have at FNS. One of the things that I've learned is that, you know, originally, probably going back to 1980, FNS had about 2,800 people. We now have about 1,300. In the early days of our agency, we were all about combating hunger. Over time, we have added to that mission the important mandate to improve the nutritional quality of the meals that we serve in school meals and the nutrition messages. So, and of course, the benefits have gone up from 13, 14, 15 million people in the food stamp program. Now we've got about going on 43 million people in our food stamp program, what we now call SNAP. We've gone from maybe $15 billion to approaching $100 billion. So one of the real challenges for me as administrator is finding a way for this agency to bear this tremendously increased load and this heavy load with less than half the people that we used to have in the old days. So that's my mission. I figure if I can support the staff, make sure that they are happy every single day when they come into work, that that's the best way I can serve the American people through these wonderful programs. So I've done a number of things. I've actually strengthened the relationship between management and the union because the union really represents all of that staff. And another thing we've done that I'm really excited about is some months ago we launched a program called Great for Eight. And sort of the premise of Great for Eight is that I need every single one of those amazing people, all 1,300 of them, to come into work each and every day and be great. We cannot afford for them to be distracted by any kinds of issues that can get in the way of them being happy and productive every single day. And I know a happy worker is going to be a productive worker. And I think the stresses at the agency that have been imposed over time had really caused us to lose sight of the fact that our people really do need to be very well supported. And rather than presuming that we might know at the senior levels what would make staff more productive and happier, I've asked them. We set up on our intranet site, we set up a suggestion box, and we found other ways for them to meet each other and get together and come forward with ideas. We ended up with about 350 suggestions. We had a great committee come together that evaluated all of those suggestions and put them into the various buckets. And in September, we launched our Great for Eight, and we're doing a number of things. We're doing something called Out and About, where folks can leave the office and go out for a few hours and maybe visit a WIC clinic, maybe go see kids eating the school lunch, maybe go to a SNAP office, a food stamp office, so that they can really get a very good sense of what our programs are all about. We established an art committee. And so we've got art from the staff all around the building on the walls, and that's very exciting. We've got a number of things that are happening as a result for Great for Eight. And it's part of Secretary Vilsack's cultural transformation. He takes this all very seriously. Great for Eight is our way of supporting the Secretary's initiative as well.
Julie, regarding your responsibilities and duties, what are the top three challenges you face in your position, and how have you addressed those challenges?
Well, the Secretary has a number of priorities, and we are very much involved in two of those. He wants to make sure that America's children and the world's children have access to safe, nutritious, and balanced meals. And of course, that goes to the core of what the Food and Nutrition Service is all about. And he wants to make sure that rural communities create wealth so that they're self-sustaining and repopulating and thriving economically. The two pieces, of course, ending childhood hunger by 2015, which the president has told us is his one of his top priorities. And then the First Lady has an initiative to end childhood obesity in a generation, have us all extraordinarily busy. It is a huge task just to run our 15 nutrition assistance programs. And with the new challenges that have come with this administration, we are truly scrambling. And so one of the real challenges, of course, is to try to find the right balance between the new initiatives and just making sure that our programs are being run effectively and efficiently. And then I think the other thing that is really difficult is the budget constraints. You know, we all know what 2011 is going to bring with a long-term continuing resolution. prospects for 2012 don't look much better. And so at a time when I'm trying to get more done with fewer people than ever before, trying to find ways to squeeze efficiencies out of our processes is a very great challenge. Those are things that keep us very busy. With respect to the rural communities creating wealth, I don't think probably most people stop to realize that our programs really do pour funds and money into economies. For example, in our SNAP program, formerly the food stamp program, what we now call SNAP, for every additional expenditure of $5 of SNAP benefits, that pours $9.20 into the local economies. And you can see why, because it's spent at a grocery store. So the grocer profits, and certainly the distributors and the wholesalers and the food manufacturers and, you know, the people who transport that and ultimately the farmer. So we feel that we're ideally placed at agriculture and that we have a great impact on the economy as well. And that supports a very important initiative of the Department of Agriculture. The next 4 years are going to be really important for us at FNS. We're going to be very, very busy. The Congress passed and the President signed the Child Nutrition Reauthorization Bill. It's a historic piece of legislation. It's going to take a great deal of work on the part of staff to implement that. And implementation of the 2010 Dietary Guidelines is going to mean that we're going to have to take another look at all of our nutrition messages and all the work that we do in the area of nutrition education and make sure that it's consistent with the government's guidelines in terms of nutrition. So we're very excited about what's being put on our plate, and it just underscores the importance of our programs.
I understand you've worked for more than three decades to improve national food and nutrition programs. Would you describe your career path for our listeners? And how did you begin your career, and what brought you to your current leadership role?
I actually came to Washington back in late 1979, having just graduated from law school. I went to law school late. I had got married and had two children. My first position was as a staff attorney in the general counsel's office at the Department of Agriculture. And I actually worked in the division that supported the Food and Nutrition Service. So that's how I got my start here. And I worked in the general counsel's office for just about 10 years. And then I went, had the wonderful opportunity to go work on Capitol Hill. And I worked at the House Agriculture Committee as a subcommittee consultant. I worked with a number of wonderful, fine members of Congress. I worked with Kika de la Garza when he was chair of the House Agriculture Committee. I worked with Charlie Stenholm on a number of ag issues. And in spite of the fact that my background really was the food stamp program, I had the great opportunity to get to know ag policy and work with a number of ag programs. Then in 1997, I was chosen to be the Deputy Undersecretary for Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services back at the Department of Agriculture. And so I had the privilege of being a political appointee in the Clinton administration for the final 3 years of that administration. Interestingly enough, at that point, at the end of the Clinton administration, I was able to retire. And so I did. I retired from government service and about 6 months later went to work in the nonprofit community. I worked for an organization called America's Second Harvest, which is the nation's food bank network. They're currently called Feeding America. And they had a very active public policy and advocacy shop in Chicago at their headquarters, and they realized they ought to have a presence in Washington. So they asked me if I would open a D.C. office for them, which I was happy to do. I worked for them for about 5 years, and then I retired again. I was very happily retired so I could be a full-time wife. My children by that time had presented me with grandchildren, so I had a wonderful time playing with my three grandchildren and being there for them. And I thought I was done. And then Barack Obama was elected president. And I had to sort of give some serious thought to coming back into federal service. I had for many, many years thought the best job in Washington would be administrator of the Food and Nutrition Service. I have such huge respect and admiration for the people at FNS and for the programs. And I thought being there, working with them day in and day out, would be such an honor and such a thrill. So I was so pleased to be chosen as administrator for the Food and Nutrition Service. So in May of 2009, I started my current position. And indeed, it has been everything I had hoped for and more. I am delighted to be the administrator of this great agency. It's such a privilege and such an honor.
Given your wealth of experience, what are the characteristics that make up an effective leader? And more importantly, who along your career has influenced your leadership and management approach?
Well, you know, it's interesting because until I became administrator, I really had always sort of considered myself kind of a staff person. I had done staff work largely, policy work certainly, but didn't consider myself an administrator or a manager, or quite frankly, hadn't considered myself a leader in sort of the commonplace sense of that. But I have found that I have thoroughly enjoyed the administrative part and the management part of being the administrator. And the kinds of things I realized that I didn't know would help me, that have helped me, have been very interesting to me as I've thought about it. I am seen as someone who is empathetic. I walk in the shoes of people. I listen to people. I try very hard to understand where people are coming from. I think I got that from my mom. My mom was always good about that. I remember when I was a kid and I would come home and complain about something that my teacher had done or that she had yelled at us or, you know, given someone a hard time in class. And it was always a little disturbing to me because we didn't come from the kind of family that did that. And my mom would always say, "Oh, my goodness, sounds like your teacher must have just had a bad day." And I think that so often that you just sort of need to get into the heads of other people and sort of understand what might be going on with them if you want to really be able to effectively work for them. I think it helps that I'm not thin-skinned. I've got a pretty good sense of self. And so I can work with all kinds of people, and I don't think I take things personally. I think that helps if you're going to try to lead people, that you've got a good, strong sense of self. My dad taught me that it is important to do the right thing, to make a real commitment to doing things properly, doing things well, doing things right. And so I try hard not to play games and to really think through what is the right thing to do in any given situation and somehow find a way to do that. I've learned some things from the people that I've worked with over the years. I know Charlie Stenholm, when he was in the Congress and I was supporting him, was always one of the most optimistic and positive people as he would move forward, and taught me a great deal about inclusion, that you don't just work with your friends, that you've got to reach out to the folks who challenge you and who have a different view of things. The undersecretary that I worked for when I was in the Clinton administration, a wonderful woman, Shirley Watkins, taught me the benefit of perseverance. She would frequently say, "Julie, we're going to try this, and if we can't get in the front door on this one, we'll go in the back door. We'll see if we can find a window open, or we'll go in through the basement door. But, you know, we're going to persevere, and we're going to find a way to make this policy difference." And so I am not easily discouraged. I am optimistic, and I am ever so grateful for the people that I've learned from over the course of my career.
How does the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, work? We will ask Julie Parity, Administrator of the Food and Nutrition Service within the U.S. Department of Agriculture, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.